So it's interesting in most of the rural areas, you drive through these small towns, there's always these majestic churches. I don't know if you guys have found it, especially in South Africa. I feel every small town has this incredible church. And you can put up that photo for us. And it's interesting. I was reminded of this church and walking past it. And I was looking in at this. And I fear that we have done this with God. You know, we see him from afar. But we've used his holiness as this fence that we've put up to keep ourselves separate. You know, we so often go, God is good and gracious and loving. Oh, but he's holy. So without thinking about it, we've sort of created this thing to counterbalance everything that sounds good. So we hear holy and we go, you know, we have this fence. We're like, it's beautiful. It's incredible to hear, to look at. But I see it over there, over this beautiful lawn that creates the space. Because, man, I definitely don't feel holy. So it's there, but I don't know if it's for me. And we have this personal struggle of God's holiness and us falling so short. So today we're going to have a look at holiness and what it means to be set apart. So I hope after today that each person would walk out of here no longer on the wrong side of the fence, looking in at God's holiness, but staying outside of it. So in Hebrew, it's kodesh is the root word for holy. My Hebrew is shaky at best, so I hope that pronunciation was right. But it means to be distinct, separate, or consecrated for a special use. In Greek, it's hagios. As used in the New Testament, it translates to holy, sacred, or to be set apart for God's divine use. So that's what it means to be set apart. That's what holy means. And the first thing is, God is holy. If you look at the first scripture, 1 Samuel 2 verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. You see, he is set apart from everything else. Because everything we can think of, every thought, everything, no matter how beautiful, it's tainted. It's tainted by the world and by sin and the fall of man and all of these things. But God is the one thing different from everything else. Every single thing. So everything in the world, even us, but God is set apart. Because there's no thing higher than him. There's no thing that influences him. There's no thing that created him. He is holy. But you see, we have let God's holiness become this thing that pushes us further away to the side. But we're not supposed to be pushed away by it. It's like a moth to a flame. I mean, especially in summer, if you put on a light, it's like all the insects in the whole town is like, woof. Have you found that? Sometimes you don't even put the light, it's just this, like your phone screen, and all of a sudden it's like moths and mosquitoes and everything's just there. And I think that was what God meant to happen to us with his holiness. We were supposed to be drawn to it. We were supposed to run to it. Let nothing stand in our way. But the problem is that we've allowed the enemy to twist how we look at it and at ourselves. And we became ashamed. We've decided that we're looking in at this glorious holiness, this beautiful thing. But because we are not, we put up this fence, going, because he's so great, man, there's no room for me. Man, I fall short, so I can't belong. I won't fit in. But the thing is, his holiness was meant for us to come to it so that he can burn away the things that wasn't meant to be there. All of the things that put us on this side of the fence, he takes away when we come over to this side. Psalm 34, Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those who take refuge in Him. We can't see and taste how good He is looking at Him through a fence. We're called to be part of Him, to be so close to Him that we're in Him, to be devoured by Him, to marinate in all that He is. Because He's everything that we are not. And the world is not. And every other thing is not. Because He's set apart. You see, because He's set apart, He is the absolute only thing that can fill the hole we have in our hearts. And we forget this. We so often want to grab to things, more of this and less of that, and we try and find meaning in all of these things in the world. And I mean, we've got no stage because I'm not talking down. You know, I'm so guilty of this. I spent years just trying to find joy and grow peace and make harmony happen. But the thing is, the more we try and do it on this side of the fence, the further away it gets. And we don't understand why. And we start having this deeper and more longing of the stuff that seems to get further away from us. But it's because that it's all tainted. It's all twisted. It's all there to distract. But when He calls us and we make the way to the other side, putting aside everything that we thought was so important and would give us all these things that we were craving, we find the hole in our heart is Jesus-shaped. We find that He fits perfectly. And all of a sudden, everything is added once we put Him first. And it's amazing how He works. You see, we can only find it in Him and when He's found in us. Because there's nothing else like Him, He's perfect and holy in everything. And this makes it difficult. Because the thing is, we hear God is a perfect Father. So we imagine our fathers, but better. We hear God loves perfectly. So we try and imagine the best love that we've ever felt. But the thing is, it falls short. Because He is the perfect one, set apart, holy. So we, at the best we have, get such a small glimpse of who He is. Because He's perfect and set apart and everything we need. You see, we, instead of drawing close to the holiness, we run. Because we hear, you know, God has called us to be holy. And we go, cold sweat and thinking of everything that disqualifies me and thinking how short I fall and how can I be holy when He is. And we do. Maybe I'm alone in this. I don't know. But you know, I hear this and there's like this internal struggle immediately. Like the enemy whispering in my ear about all my flesh and all my desires and all my stuff that I've done wrong. And you know, and I struggle. It's hard. It's hard to imagine me to be part of that beautiful building on the other side of the fence. You know, I struggle to see it. You know, we know that we are sinful and tainted. So the thing is, instead of coming to the light to be burned away, we hide behind the fence, hoping that the darkness could hide how far I fall short. I'm hoping that something can stay hidden, that people and God and everybody miss how absolutely insignificant I am. Instead of coming to it, to open up those deep wounds and those hidden places, and sometimes even places we don't know is hidden there, to come to Him and let Him have it all. Let Him have His way, burn away and add and grow and cut and do what He wants in the way that He wants. You know what's interesting is we are not the first people to feel that way. And looking at everyone's faces, I am not the first person to feel that way, I hope. So it's actually interesting if we look to the first people ever, that they made the same mistakes. So if we look to Adam and Eve, God made them to have this intimate relationship with them, to know them intimately. You know, in Genesis 3 verse 8, it talks about God coming to the garden to walk with them in it's the evening day called. But the thing is, they became aware of how short they fall. They become aware of how more holy God is than they think they are. And immediately they go into shame about their nakedness. And the enemy sneaks in condemnation. And when God comes to spend time with them, to walk with them in the garden, they go and hide away. You know, they run to the other side of the fence, hoping not to be seen. So it's not a new thing. The enemy has used the scheme since the start of time. But it's beautiful to realize then that there's not condemnation for us in it. Because you see, the whole of Hebrews 10, that whole chapter, is just on why Jesus was enough to pay for everything that made us unholy. That everything that disqualified us from being on this side of the fence, Jesus has paid for. It's beautiful. Hebrews 10 verse 10 reads, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, once for all time." Meaning that once Jesus paid the price for us to be holy, it wasn't a paid for everyone who came before him. It wasn't for a paid for me until this Sunday. He paid it for all time. Meaning that everything that justified me to remain on this side of the fence has been paid for by Jesus. So God being so set apart, so different from the world and the way we think about it, he simply chose to make us holy because of who he is, not because of who we are. He's the one that chooses. Not only that, he became flesh and lived a life set apart, led by example of how to live a life set apart. To set the example, but also to pay the price, to pay the sacrifice of us not being holy. He even then poured out his Spirit for us. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14, we read the following. "As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first, to experience salvation." And then he describes, what does this mean? What is the salvation that we have? A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth. Isn't that beautiful? He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Hey, isn't that beautiful? So, you see, we see that even though God has paid for everything, the Spirit comes to work in us to make us holy. So the Spirit comes and we allow it to start working in our hearts. We set our eye focusing on the truth that we receive in the Word, to how God says we should do it, how God says we should do life, who God says He is, who God says I am, and all of these things. And by clinging to the truth and earnestly desiring more of it, the Spirit starts working in our heart to bring us over from this side of the fence to the side we were supposed to be. You see, God knew that we were to be really good at doing unholy things. Am I right? It's just me, maybe. Because the thing is, the moment I do something, my thought goes to, but everyone's doing it. So This is the way that it's always been done. This is what has been done to me, so therefore I can do this. This is how I've always been taught, or how I have always done it. Therefore, I continue to do it. And then this is a dangerous one, I think, for us, especially in South Africa. This is our tradition. This is the way that we, as a people, do it. You see, the problem with all of those statements and with that way of thinking, all of that is still focused on this side of the fence. We still focus on how is this happening? Like, how are we going to do it? What has been my way to get to this point? But we forget that God doesn't call us to start focusing on this. We need to shift over to where we place our focus. Because where are we going? We're not supposed to remain on this side and be the best among this side. We're called to be set apart. We're called to be removed out of that way of thinking, that way of doing, and everything of that. To start changing from the inside, to allow the Spirit to change us on the inside, to start measuring from on this side of the fence and no longer on the one that we found ourselves in for such a long time. It's not about how I can, but it's about who He is. So you see, we've got to be so intentional to move over from the one side of the fence over to the other. We've got to make sure that we set our focus to Him in terms of our thoughts and our actions and our desires. All of that should be set upon Him and Him deciding where we're placing it and where we're going. And nothing from this side, because then it's not set apart anymore. You see, He's called us to this purpose. He's called us to be set apart. And if you remember the definition from the start, to be set apart for His divine use. So it's interesting then that we're not called just to live on this side of the fence. We're called to be from this side of the fence. But actually, He's called us to be set apart so that we can be useful for His divine purpose on this side. So we're not supposed to remove ourselves out of this side. We're supposed to be set apart from it, but we're supposed to be useful in it, which is amazing. Because we've got a purpose to play. God could do it all Himself. But the thing is, He wanted us to have part of Him. He wanted to share the kingdom with us. He wanted us to have this incredible inheritance. But if we are to be useful in this side, we can't afford to look like it. We've got to look like the other side while still being on this side of eternity. As written in John 3, verse 16, most Googled Bible verse at the moment, I don't know if you guys know that, it's like scary how many millions of times this verse is Googled, but for this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So I read this and I believe He's got a purpose for us while still in this world. I read this and say, a God who loved the world so much, who loved us so much while being lost on this side, man, I think He's got a purpose for us, that we still have a role to play. He still has a divine calling that He wants to use us for. But for us to be able to do that, we need to live differently and look differently, think differently. We have to be set apart. So John 17, verse 16 to 21. They do not belong, this is Jesus speaking, they do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by Your truth. Teach them Your word, which is truth. Just as You sent Me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give Myself as a holy sacrifice sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like us, that Jesus is praying for. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. Man, I don't think God leaves any gray areas. I think we're supposed to be found in him, in the beauty and the holiness, in the set apartness of who he is. That's where we should be found, in all areas. Not just on a Sunday, not just in certain parts, but that is where we belong. That is where we are called to and where God meant us to be. So I do think we need to be careful. Just running over this and sitting with this message, I could identify three things that we really need to be careful of. Dangers where we can so easily fall into. So the first one, we try to earn it. You know, we attend church and we attend community and we put our hands up in worship, and sometimes I will even respond to a message. But the problem is that although it looks healthy, something in my heart has become, I'm doing this so that I can be holy. I'm doing this so that I can earn it, make it happen, make it work. And you realize that the Pharisees that we read about in the Bible and make out to be these bad guys, this is what they did. The Pharisees were better taught in the word than anyone else. The problem is it became the pride. It became the, yeah, but we are working so hard and we're doing it so well, for therefore we must be on this side of the fence. And that's the danger, is he's the only way. There is no way but through Jesus. Because this is self-righteousness. The problem about this leads to pride. Unfounded pride, but pride. And the problem is this also goes hand in hand with condemnation, because we can't earn it. It's an unobtainable goal. And I think deep down in our hearts, we know it. And the more we try and fail, the harder we start trying. And the enemy just catches us in that trap. So be so aware of it. Then number two, which is on the other side of the spectrum, is we just simply give up. We sit and we go, yo, this is too hard. So you know what? I'm just going to lean into grace. I'm just going to grab at the grace verses. I'm going to go, no. God loves me, therefore I can be who I am. No. I am the way God made me. It's dangerous terminology. You know, we've got to be so careful of ignoring the fullness of the truth of the word. Because God has given it to us. He's already spoken to us. We maybe just not show up to listen every now and then, spending time with him in his word. And the problem about this as well is we tend to fall into this binge purge cycle. So we fall into sin and we kind of binge on it. And then we feel, oh no, I'm supposed to be holy. Now I will never again do anything. And you know, and maybe for a time it goes well. Maybe for a time it seems that you found freedom. But it's only a matter of time before we kind of need that injection again to binge it again. And then we go, oh, okay, but now I'm done. And you know, it's the cycle that just doesn't break. Because we're trying ourselves. We will do it. But then I think number three is more relevant to the message today. I think it's a danger of we try and maintain the average. We try and organize kind of that you know, I'm not at 50%, I'm like 51, you know. I'm like passing without neglecting my friends, you know. It's I'm just doing enough. I'm just ahead of the curb. I'm like, yeah, this is maintaining and managing that I'm doing so well. But it's such a dangerous lie. You know, we think at least I'm not doing that. Or at least I'm not that bad. At least I'm only doing it in moderation. But the problem is we immediately find ourselves again standing in the crowd looking at them, forgetting that where we're going on that side. We're just happy to remain on this side. And honestly, the enemy is happy to leave you there because it looks great. Well done, you. But you can't earn it. It is something you can only receive by coming to the Father, by accepting the Son, by allowing the Holy Spirit to start working and purifying, setting you apart. You see, pride and bad doctrine. So dangerous. We must live to a standard that He's called us. Not our interpretation of what we think the standard can be to get by. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests and a holy nation. God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. So my question today is then, will we be a holy people? You know, will we be a holy people to Jesus? Will we be the nation that God has called? Not looking at our culture, not looking at the culture we created for ourselves, but looking to kingdom culture. You see, we need to be different. We need to be different in the way that we love. We need to be different in the way that we live and the way that we mourn, in the way we react when we stumble. We need to be different in the joy and how we receive people that wronged us and in every single thing we do, because God has called us to be set apart. It's not a new thing that you might fit the bill. God has looked at you before the start of time and said, I am setting you apart for the purpose that I have for you, to look like me and represent me, to be useful to my kingdom and get people to come to drink from the living water available to them. Are we willing to be that holy nation? So let us live then holy lives. Not because of our deeds and what we do, but let us change what we think and what we do to represent Him. It is so that we can be set apart for His divine purpose and have our lives count for the glory of our King. Because otherwise, we're just wasting time. Otherwise, we are not set apart and we can't be used for the divine purpose that God has placed on our lives. And this is to all of us. This is all who responded to the message, all who came to Jesus. Because He said, I'm praying for you. Isn't that incredible?